We are up to the last of the five Talmidim, the five students of Rabbi Nochman ben Zakkai. Each of them had three main lessons to pass on to everybody, and the fifth Talmid, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, said the following three lessons. Rabbi Elazar says, "Have a shokudul my Torah, be diligent in learning Torah. Toil with endless hours. Don't waste a moment. The only way to become a real Talmud Chacham is to put in all of one's energy and time and care and interest in learning Torah. And once you learn a lot of Torah, then v'damash tosh l'abikores, you will know, and you should try and know anyway, how to be able to answer to a heretic. When a heretic starts questioning you about the truth of Hashem or the Torah, you should be confident enough to answer to him. Your level of faith and your knowledge of the Torah should be vast enough that you are confidently able to answer and refute all of his questions." Now, that having been said, Rabbi Elazar makes sure to emphasize that certainly the purpose of learning Torah is not mainly for these small ideas like being able to answer a heretic. Rather, the main achievement and accomplishment and purpose of learning Torah is the learning Torah itself. Apart from being able to know the halacha and knowing how to act, the very state of learning the Torah in it is in and of itself an extremely important thing, and really the most effective and highest level of connection which one can have with Hashem. And because of that, Rabbi Elazar says, "V'dalef nemi'ata omel," you should know and realize before whom you are toiling and working. When you're learning that this is really a general idea, that you should know that you always remember you're serving Hashem, but specifically it's a continuation of what Rabbi Elazar is talking about, learning Torah. When you're learning Torah, remember who you're learning from, that Hashem is literally teaching you the Torah, and remember that you're learning the Torah not just for your own accomplishments, for you to build up yourself and become a great person, rather you're learning it in order to attain a connection with Hashem. You're learning it as a way of serving Hashem. It's extremely easy, especially for people who spend most of their day learning Torah. It's an extremely, extremely common and easy trap to fall into, that one turns it into an exercise of making himself great, trying to make myself into the biggest Talmud Chacham that I can be, and learning all day, trying to become greater and greater, but forgetting about the reason why we're doing all of this, to serve Hashem. And so specifically when Rabbi Elazar is talking about spending so many hours learning Torah, he emphasizes that you've always got to remember that you're learning the Torah of Hashem, and that you're doing it in order to serve Hashem, to gain a deeper appreciation of Hashem's existence and huge wisdom, to get a tiny greater glimpse of that endless wisdom of Hashem. And that is important to remember as long as one is learning Torah. And you should also always remember and keep in mind that the owner of the work, the employer, is trustworthy to pay you the wages of your work. Meaning Hashem will certainly give you the reward which is due for those who learn his Torah and keep his mitzvahs. And at first glance, this seems to actually contradict a Mishnah which we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, where Antigonus Ish Soichai taught us that one should not serve Hashem for the sake of the reward. So asks Rabbeinu Yonah, what is Rabbi Elazar telling us over here? That you should remember that Hashem is trustworthy, he'll give you the reward. Why is that something important to remember? That's not the reason why I'm serving Hashem and learning Torah. So why is it important that I always keep that in mind? Rabbeinu Yonah answers that this Mishnah is talking more about times where it becomes more difficult to learn. Right now I'm quite tired and I can't convince myself to get up there and learn more. It's harder for me, or life situations make it much harder to go and do mitzvahs and learn Torah. In times like that, remind yourself what there is to lose if you don't learn Torah, and on the other hand, what there is to gain, the huge reward and closest to Hashem which you can attain by learning the Torah. Does that mean that that's the reason you should be learning Torah? Of course not. But you should still use this knowledge and realization to encourage yourself to learn Torah and keep mitzvahs, even when it does get harder than usual. Mishnah Tesvov. This Mishnah is said by Rabbi Tarfain, who was also a student of Rabbi Nochman ben Zakkai. He wasn't one of the five main students, but he also learnt from Rabbi Nochman ben Zakkai. That's one reason why this Mishnah is placed over here, and another reason is because one of the lessons which Rabbi Tarfain is going to state is very, very similar to what was just mentioned by Rabbi Elazar. So this Mishnah Tesvov says, Rabbi Tarfon says, Hayom Kotzar, The day is short, v'amalacha merubah, whereas the work which there is to do is a lot. One's life is very short, and the amount of Torah which he needs to learn is a huge, endless amount. And the workers are lazy. People don't spend all of the time learning Torah, even though that is essentially what is considered ideal. But they should realize that the reward is great. If somebody told you that you could go into a room full of gold, full of treasures, and for the next hour, whatever you manage to collect, you can take home and keep, do you think that person, if somebody were to come over to him and ask him a question, try to distract him from what he is doing, ask him if he wants to come and play a game of football with him at the moment, you think he would say yes? You think he would pretty much even answer them? He's so busy getting these treasures, he realizes what huge treasures there are over here, and what he would lose out by going away and doing something else now. In the same way, the Torah is the biggest treasure in the world. And relatively speaking, considering how much Torah there is to learn, there's such a little, small amount of time to do it. And the retirement ends off with Alabai's Doichik. The employer, the owner of the treasure, pushes the workers to do it. Hashem wants us to achieve. He wants us to become Talmidei Chachamim. He wants us to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and to become close to him. He doesn't just say, here's an opportunity if you want it because it's the best thing for you. You can do it. If not, then I don't mind. Hashem wants nothing more than for us to build that connection with Hashem. If we can say such a thing. Hashem begs us, look at this treasure which you have the opportunity to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs. Use your time wisely to build a connection with me. That's all I want. I want to have a connection with you. Mishnah Tezayin, this is really a continuation, Huol Yo'imer Rabbi Tarfon would say, Lo lecha melacha ligmar, the work which we're talking about, it is not incumbent upon you to complete the work. Torah is endless, you're never going to complete the learning of Torah. As well as that, there are certain things to fix in the world, and it could be that you're not able to fix the problems totally yourself. But that doesn't make you a free man to escape and not to work on fixing that problem, not to work on learning the Torah, let's take the example of the previous mission of learning Torah. It's true that you might not reach the end, but do what you can. Gather as much treasures as you can, quick. And this mission is not only talking about Torah, it's talking about any issue which one sees needs to be fixed. If, for example, let's say somebody sees there's so many Jews, unfortunately, who don't have a deep enough connection to Hashem, they don't necessarily know what a Shabbos table is. So it could be you're not able to bring every single Jew closer to Hashem. And you know what? You're not obligated to bring every Jew back to Hashem. But you can't do nothing. You've got to do your bit. You've got to do something to bring them closer. All right, continues the Mishnah. If you have learned a lot of Torah, then Hashem will ultimately give you a lot of reward, just like Rabbi Elazar two Mishnahs ago taught us. And indeed, in the same language, and the quote-unquote employer is trustworthy that he will pay you the reward for your work. According to how much you put in, how much effort you put in learning Torah, that is how much reward you will ultimately receive in Olam Haba. As Rabbi Lozar, as Rabbi Tarfon now adds, Vedan, you should know, even if you see that Talmidei Chachamim are not necessarily living the most easy life over here, and it seems perhaps they're not necessarily getting all of that reward. So you should know that, of course, Matan Tzchon Shel Tzadikim Lasid Lavai, the real reward of righteous people is in the future, in Olam Haba. Everything in Olam Haba is worth so much more. There one has real close connection, which is so much more palpable with Hashem. So Hashem saves that the reward to give it to them over there. So for now, just realize that there's a sense of urgency over here to fulfill as much Torah and mitzvahs as you can in your life, so that when you reach Olam Haba, you'll be able to receive that ultimate reward of being close to Hashem on the greatest level possible for you. It's worth noting, by the way, over the past couple of Mishnayos, we've seen a parable of an employer and an employee, where the employer will give the wages, the employer is pushing the workers to do their work, encouraging them. And one underlying message behind this parable, sort of in between the lines of the Mishnah, one can read another message into this moshel, this parable. A very fundamental idea, which many people speak at length about, the Ramchal, the Tzadik HaKoyein, amongst others, they speak about an idea that every single Jew has a unique job which they can and need to fulfill in this world, and it's something which only they can fulfill. It's a sort of shlichus, it's a tafkid. a job description, which their neshama gets when they're put into this world, when they are born. They have a particular job to fulfill. Hashem, the, so to speak, employer, he has many different workers, each who have a different job to fulfill. And if one of them doesn't fulfill their job, then the whole system can go wrong. How tragic would it be for somebody to return the neshama after living a life in this world? When they pass away and they return the neshama to Hashem, how tragic is it for those neshamas, those souls who didn't merit to fulfill that job which they were sent into the world to fulfill? How tragic. On the other hand, somebody who does fulfill that job, which Hashem gave them, their unique job which only they can fulfill, after one's life, to be able to bring back one's neshama to Hashem and show Hashem that yes, I fulfilled the mission which you sent me to do. I'm your servant, Hashem, and exactly what you wanted me to fulfill in this world, the thing which you wanted me to fix in this world, be it a particular character trait, be it a particular way to influence others, to help others, to go against one's nature in a particular way. How much our neshama yearns to be able to come back to Hashem and say, yes, I fulfilled what you wanted me to do, Hashem. So all of this is really a part of an underlying message between the lines of these Mishnayos giving the parable of an employer who gives out particular jobs to employees, to his workers and his servants. Perigil Mishnah Aleph. Until now, the order of the Mishnayos has been very neat. It's been chronological, for the most part, starting from Moshe Rabbeinu when he received the Torah at Har Sinai, going from generation to generation, through the five Zugos, the pairs of the Nossi, the head of the Sanhedrin, and the Av Beis Din, the deputy head of the Beis Din. And then we came to Hillel's descendants, who were also the Nasiim, and then Hillel and Shammai's student, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's five Talmidim, and another Talmud, another student, Rabbi Tarfain. The order has been very chronological, how the Torah was passed down from generation to generation. The next two Mishnayos continue giving many lessons and teachings like we've seen over the last two Parakim. However, the order of the Mishnayos is no longer based on chronology that the Torah was passed down from this person to this person. However, the subject matter of what is contained in each Mishnah, the lessons which are taught, are actually grouped together much more than we have had in the first two Parakim. And as well as that, there is still some order in terms of the chronology in that the third perek, which we are beginning now, for the most part, are all statements of Tanoim who lived during the times of Rabbi Akiva, the same generation as Rabbi Akiva, whereas Perek Dalad, the fourth Perek, is mostly statements said by the generation after that, the students of Rabbi Akiva. And as we're going to see, the subject matters, the lessons are grouped together quite a bit more than in the first two Perakim. Now, the first Mishnah of this Perek is quite a famous Mishnah. The custom is to recite this Mishnah at a Levaya, when people are escorting a person to their final burial place, because it reminds one of what life is all about, and how the reality is that life comes to an end, and similar idea to what we were just talking about, how one should remind oneself constantly that he wants to be able to return his neshama to Hashem, and say that he fulfilled his mission in this world. So says the Mishnah, Akavim ben Mahalalel, Omer Akavim ben Mahalalel says, by the way, the Mishnah in Adius says regarding Akavim ben Mahalalel, that there was nobody in the Jewish people in his day with more wisdom or yiras chet, fear of sinning. We're talking about an extremely great Talmud Chacham. What did he say? Histakel b'shlosha devarim. Literally means look, concentrate, understand three things, the following three things, v'yatabol de'aveira, and if you really internalize them, you will not come to do any sins. Number one, dami ein bosa, know from where you have come. Number two, ul anata hoylich, to where are you going? And number three, v'lefneat miyata osalidin v'cheshbein, in front of whom in the future will you need to give an accounting of all of the actions which you've done in this world. Me'ayin bosa, from where did you come? Mitipas rucha, which literally means from a disgusting drop. The way a person is created, ultimately, that is the first stage of the baby being formed. You came from that tiny disgusting drop. Where are you going to? You're going to a place of dust, worms, and maggots. That's what's going to be in your grave. Somebody who is tempted by a certain lust or desire should remind himself of such a picture. And thirdly, in front of who will you need to give an accounting for all of your deeds in the future? in front of the king of all kings, Hashem. Every single thing which you've ever done, you're going to have to give an accounting. Once you die, I give back your neshama to Hashem. And of course, it's a high level to think of these things when one is tempted to do an avera. But just like everything, practice makes perfect. At least one should be reminded of it every now and then, in an attempt to try and control oneself as much as he can from doing sins which his desire tempts him to do. So these three things, if one really internalizes them, that is a way to escape and to make sure that one does not end up doing sins.